This is the Voice of America.
Ladies and gentlemen, distinguished guests, dear colleagues. I'm Patsy Widakuswara from VOA Indonesian Service. Good afternoon and welcome to the 70th anniversary celebration of the Voice of America. Just a small housekeeping note before we begin. Please kindly silence your cell phones and refrain from using flash on your camera throughout the program. We are now joined by the Joint Armed Forces Color Guard presenting the national colors, followed by the national anthem by VOA's John Stevenson. Please stand as you are able. Please be seated. That was our very own John Stevenson, the director of our English division, accompanied by VOA's Eric Felton and the Eric Felton Jazz Orchestra. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for being with us this afternoon, sharing this very important milestone in our history. Today we pay tribute to the men and women, past and present, whose talent, hard work, and dedication have made the Voice of America one of the world's leading international broadcasters. And now it gives me great pleasure to introduce the 28th director of the Voice of America, David Ensor.
Thank you, Patsy. Distinguished guests, including, we expect, the ambassadors of Afghanistan, Serbia, Ukraine, Montenegro, Macedonia, Kosovo, Indonesia, and also the Taipei Representative's Office. present and former members of the Broadcasting Board of Governors, including Dennis Mulhaupt, Victor Ashe, and Acting Undersecretary of State Kathleen Stevens, and Jeff Hirschberg and Senator Ted Kaufman. Present and former directors of the IBB and of the Voice of America, representatives of VOA's founding generation, ladies and gentlemen, welcome. It's our great pleasure that you are with us today for the anniversary celebration of the Voice of America. Looking back on the 70-year history of this proud organization, there's so much to be pleased about. Within a year of going back on the air in 1942, VOA was broadcasting in 27 languages. On one remarkable day, back in 1969, 800 million people listened to the radio broadcast live from Voice of America when Neil Armstrong made his first steps on the moon. And today, our radio and television programs are carried on satellite, AM, FM, mobile, the internet, and a dizzying array of social media sites, which are part of the rapidly changing media landscape. Twitter, crowdsourcing, podcasts, these are all part of our vocabulary. Today, like other media organizations and government agencies, VOA is feeling its way through a difficult budget environment. Money's tight. Shrinking budgets are affecting all Western international broadcasters. And yet, Voice of America employees remain utterly loyal to our mission. We continue to innovate, and our audience continues to grow, 141 million per week at the last count. This event that we're here at today is a chance to look back at our history, to honor the men and women who dedicated their lives to our journalistic mission. They built the foundation upon which we now continue to build. One of the founders is with us today, and I'm going to get the chance to talk to him in a minute, Walter Roberts, down in the front. Back in February 1st, 1942, that Walter was part of a small team of early broadcast pioneers who put VOA's first program on the air to Germany at the start of World War II. And so I'm very delighted that he's here along with other members of that generation. Since those first VOA broadcasts in 1942, every single United States president, starting with Franklin D. Roosevelt, has spoken to the world on the airwaves of the Voice of America. Last year from the White House, President Barack Obama granted an exclusive on-camera interview to VOA. Today it is my distinct honor to introduce a special anniversary message from the President of the United States.
Hello, everybody, and to all of you at Voice of America, congratulations on 70 years of extraordinary service. From that very first broadcast during World War II, and ever since, the Voice of America has been the voice of freedom. Long before we even talked about the power of public diplomacy, you made it your mission to help America communicate with the world, to show the true character of our country and the ideals and liberties for which we stand. In the face of foreign governments that censor, you provide news that's accurate and objective. In the face of regimes that deny universal rights, you stand for freedom and democracy. At times, your work comes with great risk. And tonight, we remember those from the VOA family who have given their lives to this mission. Indeed, others may try to jam your signal or silence your voice, but there's no stopping our message. Whether it's been families trapped behind an iron curtain or students trying to log on behind an electronic curtain, dissidents harassed by secret police or young people marching for the dignity and opportunity they deserve, you are the voice that reminds them you're not alone, and there's a place called America that stands with you. Recently, the world lost one of these champions of democracy, and 2 decades ago, on his first trip to America as president, one of the first stops that Vaclav Havel made was to the headquarters of the Voice of America. He had inspired his countrymen and the world with his call for people to confront the lies of dictatorship by living within the truth, and he credited you, the Voice of America, for helping to sustain him and so many others with the truth you told every day. Our nation is stronger and our world is more just because of your tireless efforts. So on behalf of the American people and the millions around the world who draw hope and strength from your work, Thank you all for being the proud and steady voice of America.
Thank you, Mr. President. Last November, when Secretary of State Hillary Clinton sat down for an exclusive interview with Parazit, VOA's hit show to Iran, the host joked with her just a little bit for postponing an earlier timing for the interview because she was, quote, too busy taking down dictators. Well, in the past 2 weeks, the secretary has been in Europe, in North Africa, huddling with world leaders on the crisis in Syria, on Iran, on a variety of other topics. But she also found time to send us this message.
For 70 years, the Voice of America has been a trusted source of news and information for millions of people around the world. Since its birth, VOA has consistently adapted to our rapidly changing world, growing from a radio broadcast service into a vibrant multimedia network that employs every medium there is, from television to Twitter. Still, it remains as true to its mission today as it was at the beginning in 1942. In parts of the world where the voice of freedom is muted or muffled, you have stood at the front lines of the struggle for a free media. And at times, some of you have even risked your lives, and others have even sacrificed theirs. Earlier this year, we lost a Pakistani correspondent who, despite multiple threats on his life, dedicated himself to giving his audience fair and accurate reports from his corner of the world. Today, we pay tribute to Mokarram and to other members of the VOA family, whom we have lost regrettably and tragically over the years. We are proud of you and grateful for your work. Time and time again, you defy governments that seek to stifle your signal, piercing through iron curtains and electronic ones as well. For the sake of illuminating the enduring strength of freedom, of democratic values. So as you mark your 70th anniversary, I congratulate all of you who have built this worldwide network into what it is today. Thank you so very much for being the voice of America.
Thank you, Mr. President and Madam Secretary, for taking the time to help us celebrate our anniversary and also for recognizing our role in America's public diplomacy. We have received a number of anniversary messages from distinguished friends and listeners from around the world, and we'll show some of them to you throughout the program. And we are especially honored to begin with these two that need no introduction.
The 70th anniversary of the VOA is for me like the birthday of a friend, because the VOA and other broadcasting stations were the friends who kept me company during my long years of house arrest. So, as I would on a friend's birthday, may I wish you many happy returns and much happiness and much progress in the future. Because your happiness and progress is not just your own, but that of the many peoples that you serve through your service. That is real service. When I was under house arrest, my only contact with the world were the broadcasting stations to which I listened every day, assiduously, to find out what is going on. And that was what helped me to reconnect almost immediately when I was released. For this, I shall always be grateful to the VOA and other broadcasting stations. That the VOA has had a Burmese language program for so many years is a matter of particular satisfaction for us. Many people in Burma have had to recourse to these international broadcasting stations to find out what was happening in our own country. Now that there is more freedom of information in Burma, we perhaps are not as dependent on the radio stations as before, but that does not in any way reduce their importance, because it is a different angle from what we hear inside the country. It is always good to have as many sources of information as possible. So I hope that in the years ahead, the VOA will continue to take a keen interest in Burma and what is going on in Burma, and that I shall be able to continue listening to it, as I still do every day, though for not as long a period as I used to under house arrest. Thank you very much for all that you have done for Burma and for me in the matter of information, and I hope that you will go from strength to strength.
Yeah, that's Rinde. It was America.
On the 70th anniversary of Voice of America's first broadcast, I would like to pay my heartiest congratulations to you. I remember clearly the night of March 17th, 1959, when we escaped from Norbulinga Palace in Lhasa. On that day and the days following of our journey to India, my security chief listened to the Voice of America broadcasts every day for news updates on Tibet. It is unfortunate that censorship and distortion of news is prevalent in some parts of the world even today. Therefore, I believe that news organizations like the Voice of America are critically important in providing comprehensive, impartial news. Voice of America Tibetan Service has played a vital role for Tibetans by providing unbiased news, both good and bad. On your 70th anniversary, I want to take the opportunity to pray for VOA staff that are not here today and thank those who are currently working. Finally, I hope that all news media that provide objective news, especially the Voice of America, will continue to grow and prevail. And to Voice of America's Tibetan service, your broadcasts are relied on by your listeners inside Tibet, by people in the Himalayan region and even Mongolia, and of course, we Tibetans living in exile. On their behalf, I would like to thank the service. Your contribution to international news broadcasting is indeed most commendable. Thank you very much.
So, by now you know that Voice of America has important friends. And ladies and gentlemen, it's now my pleasure to introduce another important friend of ours, Senator Ted Kaufman, who represented Delaware in the United States Senate from January 2009 to November 2010. And as you know, Ted is no stranger to U.S. international broadcasting. He is the longest-serving member of the Broadcasting Board of Governors and helped lead the BBG to become an independent federal agency in 1999. Ted traveled the world for Voice of America. He barreled down the back roads of Nigeria to visit remote affiliate stations. He surveyed the media landscape of Kosovo after the Balkans crisis. And he visited Chinese officials in Beijing on numerous occasions to press our case for accreditation of our journalists and for access to local stations for VOA programs, cases we still need to press. And I've been working on that just in the last few days. Ted, please come up. The podium is yours.
Thank you, David. This is quite a group of speakers to follow. I am genuinely humbled, to be here, always to be at VOA, but especially to be with such exclusive company. It is great to be back at Voice of America. It is great. And it's great to see so many good friends. You know, when they first asked me to do this, I thought, you know what I'll do? I'll give a little speech and I'll talk about some of the experiences I had with many of the people in this room. But then I figured, you don't want to sit here for 3 days. Listen to what I had to say. And I'm sure the people I was going to talk about probably would not like to have heard what I had to say. All great people, all dedicated, all wonderful people, but they really did some weird stuff over the years. Let me wish you a very, very happy birthday. 70 years. You young organizations like me, you know, that's young for me, but still 70 years is a great 70 years. And especially congratulate you on reaching 141 million listeners. What an incredible number. But you know, I genuinely believe that VOA's best years lie in the future. I am confident, absolutely to the bottom of my being, if you think I know anything about anything, that the long-term prospects for VOA are great. I say that not out of blind optimism, because what you do is essential to U.S. national security and to people around the world whose lives literally depend on your news and information. You are essential now, and I guarantee you will remain essential. Essential, unfortunately, because 85%, as we all know, of the world's population still live in societies without a free press. Essential because you have the content. It's all about content. And you have the content for global media, including the social media, Facebook, Twitter, and all the rest. People understand your importance. BBG's total budget has grown from $425 million in 2001 to $750 million today. This spectacular growth happened because our leaders know that broadcasting is critical to addressing pressing national security concerns and fostering freedom and democracy over the long run. And they know well that VOA and BBG can get the job done. In Afghanistan and Iraq, countries at the heart of U.S. national interests, VOA and the other BBG broadcasters reach an astonishing 75% of the Afghan people and 65% of the Iraqis every week. You demonstrate that information is an essential element of national power. You demonstrate that information is an essential element of national power. You were important when we were at war, but you were even more important in helping to prevent wars in the first place. Someone I really learned to respect when I was in the Senate was former Secretary of Defense Gates, who is a big supporter of what we're doing. And he said, having robust civilian capabilities available can make it less likely that military force will have to be used in the first place, as local problems might be dealt with before they become crises. I wish everybody in America could hear that and understand that. And that's coming from the Secretary of Defense. To his point, where would the world be today if Indonesia had succumbed to violent extremism? Think about it. VOA has 38 million viewers and listeners there, and it has made a difference. Just think about another place. What would happen in Africa right now if Nigeria deteriorated in civil war? Think about that for a minute. VOA reaches 20 million people there weekly in Hausa and English with programs that help ease ethnic and religious strife and combat violent extremism, something you know more about than anybody else in the world. You are successful across the world because you speak local languages, know local cultures, understand local politics, heed local sensibilities, and appreciate local media markets and the competitive challenges. There is no other organization in the world, none, military, political, broadcasting, that can do what you do in understanding what's going on a local level, in the language and the culture and what's happening here. No one. That's one of the reasons why you have impact around the world. Beyond everything else, and this is beyond everything else, you are successful because you tell the truth. You deal in facts, not rumors. You address the full story, not just part of it. And you aim to inform, not to incite. You are a critical component of national power because of your credibility with your audiences. For all that you do, you merit greater support. At a time, the world is witnessing a global democracy wave propelled by satellite news and social media, you merit greater support. To preserve the United States present in the global stage, despite our fiscal constraints, you are the low-cost, high-impact element of national power and thus merit greater support. You know, every week I was in the Senate, I would go to the Senate floor and I'd honor federal employees. I didn't just select those who won Nobel Prizes or other international awards or war heroes or senior executives who implemented great programs. The 100 I chose to honor over those 2 years formed a colorful mosaic of all America's great federal employees. It was one of the most enjoyable parts of my time as a senator. The model for the people I chose were you, the writers, editors, producers, technicians, and broadcast support personnel of VOA and across the BBG. So let me end by thanking you for all that you do. You serve your country and the world with honor and distinction. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Kaufman. At this stage, I'd like to ask all the present and former directors of the Voice of America and the IBB to please stand. And I'd like us, if we may, to give them a vote of thanks. But now, while I have your attention, gentlemen, and it is gentlemen, since Mary Bitterman couldn't make it, she was with us on February 1st, but couldn't make it today. Veronique, nice to see you. I walked in the door here a little less than 7 months ago, and in the time since I've been here, we've had, let's see, the additional waves of the Arab Spring. We've had the deaths of Kim Jong-il and Muammar Gaddafi. We've had the famine in the Horn of Africa, high tension with Iran over the nuclear program, not to mention 20 Republican presidential debates. And last but not least on this list I made up here, the 72-day marriage of Kim Kardashian. So it's been an eventful period. And I want to ask my predecessors whether any of them can top that. Let me start with you, Sam.
No way to top that, David. I think remembering back to the period from 1991 to 2001, what stands out in my mind is the rise of the Taliban and having to deal with some of the issues of broadcasting to Afghanistan, sending people in, making sure that they were safe. I think about the great growth in our audiences in Africa and a place like Bangladesh at the time, Ethiopia, Nigeria, and the launching of VOA's internet services. We were on radio and television at that point, but we really got started with internet broadcasting at the time instead of just text. That was a pretty exciting task force arrangement at that point. We thank you for picking up on all these things and others.
All right. Thank you very much. Thanks, Sandy. Chase Undermeyer, what about you? Can you top my list, or what would you say?
Well, I'm honored to say that I was director when we celebrated the 50th anniversary of the Voice of America from this very stage. Judy Massa and our colleagues put on a fantastic program, the big broadcast of 1992. And so today, you will excuse me if I think of today as the 20th anniversary of the 50th anniversary. But in terms of news events, I recall that right at the beginning of my tenure, August of 1991, was the attempted coup against Mikhail Gorbachev. He was held prisoner in a dacha somewhere in the Black Sea. And when he was finally sprung loose, he said that he got his news and information and what was happening in Moscow from Voice of America, which was a good launching. But then there was the time when the last American hostage in Lebanon was finally released and brought to this particular place. We honored him with a watch and a few other things. And when he was given the microphone, he said that he was kept informed and kept full of hope by the broadcasts of the BBC World Service. And I said, we have added reason to be glad you are the last American hostage in Lebanon.
Thank you. And now it's your turn, David.
The war in Afghanistan was well underway when I became director in 2002. The war in Iraq followed. The Columbia space shuttle disaster occurred. We had the Abu Ghraib scandal, which unfortunately gave us a great opportunity to follow up on the promise of the news may be good and the news may be bad, but we told the truth. And I guess the other thing I would mention would be the tsunami and earthquake in the Indian Ocean, which gave us a great opportunity to provide news to people who really needed it, and I think it really paid dividends for the U.S. image for a long time afterwards.
Thank you. Mr. Tomlinson.
Actually, the most significant stories I heard when I was director of Voice of America came from Janie Fritzman. And I can't repeat them today. When I was director, we had the horrible shoot down of 007, and President Reagan came over to broadcast to the people of the former Soviet Union from our headquarters here. It was an important address for the people of Russia, but it was even more important for the Voice of America because we were able to show on the front pages of all the newspapers in America the age of VOA's equipment and thus thus earn additional appropriations.
Excellent. Well done. Jeff Cowan.
I thought I'd list, besides the wars that we covered, the Balkan Wars, of course, were going on that time, and there are so many other huge issues. But in thinking about this question, I thought about one story that we didn't cover as well as we should have, but we covered it better than anybody else, and another story we didn't cover at all, and how important that was. The story we didn't cover as well as we should have was what was happening in Rwanda. And people here will remember, actually, the Voice of America was the best form of information that anybody in that region could have. But unfortunately, we weren't yet broadcasting in languages that could be understood there. And we were not able, in all the languages that were, we added them later. And also, we weren't able to combat the horrible propaganda of Radio Mills Colleen. But we played a crucial role there. The second is a story we didn't cover the rest of the world's press the way the rest of the world's press did. And I had such pride about this, and it's a story I've told often. And that was the story of the Oklahoma City bombing. When that took place, the world's press was reporting, and all the American press was, that it was a Middle Eastern terrorist. But the people in this building said, how do we know it's a Middle Eastern terrorist? How can we jump to that conclusion, even if the rest of the world is? And so we never broadcast ourselves that it was a Middle Eastern terrorist, and as we all know, it was Timothy McVeigh. And for that quality of independence and integrity and accuracy of reporting, I think the Voice of America is unique in the world.
Dan Austin.
Thank you, David. I think, well, there were a number of things that happened during my tenure with this wonderful team here, but two presidential elections come to mind. One, the election in this country of 2008, which absolutely captured the attention of the entire world and was a wonderful opportunity for this agency to show what it could do and explain America in a way that America was not being explained to the rest of the world. That was election number one. Election number two was in June of 2009 in Iran, when people took to the streets. Across the hall here, we were receiving video at the time of about 300 videos an hour. People uploading from their cell phones, video, other means of transmission. It was the first really widespread use of social media. And I was so proud of the team here in our Persian service who learned how to take advantage of that, to be very careful. It was hard to vet this stuff. Anybody could have been uploading that material. We worked very hard to do it, but I think we got out a very accurate and timely picture of what was actually going on in the streets of Tehran. And there are numerous other examples of that kind of teamwork here, that very smart use of technology and just damn good journalism combined, which I think it made me very proud to serve my time here. Thank you.
Joe Bruns, you were acting director, but for quite a while, so we want to hear from you, too.
Well, I have the advantage of having been here for more than 12 years, so I can take credit for it all. I think Janie and I can sort of share that. But I think the one thing that I really would like to highlight was the coverage of VOA during Tiananmen Square, when Al Pessin was reporting from Beijing and doing just a really remarkable job. And the students in Tiananmen Square were listening in real time to the Voice of America and getting their news of what actually was going on in Tiananmen Square from the Voice of America. And we were able to enhance that by putting television cameras in what was then the newsroom and basically just splitting the screen and having the video of people in the newsroom with a scroll of the broadcast of the Voice of America. So the Chinese service and the Voice of America Central News really did a truly remarkable job at Tiananmen Square. So I think that's the thing I would like to highlight the most.
Thank you, sir. I'm proud to follow them. Patsy?
Former directors, thank you. Thank you so much for your service, for being part of our family and our history. And among VOA's long and rich history, one man stands out as a true icon. For more than 40 years, the late Willis Conover brought to the world his passion for one of America's truest and proudest musical traditions, jazz. Willis Conover may not be a household name in the United States, but he was, as Reader's Digest called him, the world's favorite American. He was the jazz messiah. It was the Army that brought young Willis Conover to Washington in the 1950s, and he quickly made a name for himself as a jazz buff, radio host, and promoter of the Capitol's music scene. When VOA started a jazz program in 1955, Willis, of course, was the logical choice and perfect personality. And thus he began a long and memorable career that included friendships with the era's greatest stars: Duke Ellington, Irving Berlin, Louis Armstrong, Ella Fitzgerald, and Billie Holiday.
Willis Conover speaking. This is the Voice of America Jazz Hour.
Well, let's get away from the musical end of Billie Holiday for just a second and ask how the name Lady Day came about.
Well, now, that came about when Lester was and I were at Count Basie's band, and Lester named me Lady Day, and he named my mother the Duchess, and there was Count Basie, so we were the royal family.
I see. Well, then, how did the gardenia in the Billie Holiday hairdo become Billie's trademark?
Well, I've always loved gardenias, and one night I got very, very... How would you say it when an artist gets... I don't know. It's a word for it. Anyway, I just wouldn't go on. I couldn't go on. I couldn't sing without my gardenia. So it became a trademark, and I just thought I couldn't sing if I didn't have a gardenia in my hair. And it had to be fresh.
You're no longer wearing the gardenia these days, though.
Well, no. I got over that. It was just a childish thing.
Lady Day, Billie Holiday, our in-person guest today. Well, fun in New Orleans is a bare necessity, isn't it?
That's right. That's the number I did for the Academy Award.
That's right.
For the people here.
Bare necessity.
And we do it here at the Latin Quarters, too. It's very nice.
How about doing it now?
Well, I'll sing you for a couple of lines. See, look for bare necessities. The simple bare necessities. Forget about your worries and your strife. I mean the bare necessities of Mother Nature's recipes to make the bare necessities of life.
Simple bare necessities. Forget about your worry and your strife. I mean the bare necessities. That's how a bear can rest at ease with just the bare necessities of life. So just relax, Satch, in my backyard. If you act like the bee acts, too hard. Don't spend your time looking around for something you want that can't be found. You find out you can live without it. Stick along without thinking about it. I tell you something true. The bare necessities of life will come to you. To you. Oh, yeah!
What I want to do is something that makes me feel that my life was worthwhile. And I think I will feel that way on my last day.
The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies cry. Watch them grow. They'll learn much more than I'll ever know. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Wonderful world indeed. It's our 70th birthday. And once again for Eric Felton and the Eric Felton Jazz Orchestra, please, ladies and gentlemen. Now, For those of you who don't know, when Eric is not busy swinging to big band, he is busy grilling newsmakers as the host of VOA's On the Line. And now for some more anniversary greetings from our friends around the world.
Zëri Amerikës ishte dhe mbetet një dritare gazetarisë profesionale.
The Voice of America remains a window of professional journalism, but also a medium that made it possible for Kosova's voice to be heard in the world in the most difficult times for the country.
Zëri Amerikës është një radio.
VOA is appreciated and respected for its accurate, balanced and fast information. It is an indispensable source of information.
Ai është burimi I pashmangshëm I informimit.
Želim da glasu Amerike čestitam izuzetan jubilej.
I would like to congratulate VOA this extraordinary anniversary, 70 years of successful operation. Voice of America has shown that it is an outstanding media outlet whose audience is grateful for what VOA did. I also gave interviews and statements to VOA and was a guest at its headquarters on a number of occasions. I would like to express my appreciation and gratefulness for what VOA accomplished.
Those anniversary greetings from our friends, and now looking into the audience, I see many faces of our former colleagues who have played an indispensable role in the growth and evolution of this organization. You are broadcasters, writers, technicians, crew who have traveled to the front lines, got the shows on the air, and brought the news, good or bad, to our audiences around the world. You know, as we know, that above all, the show must go on. And it is thanks to your legacy that the show goes on for 70 years and counting. Now I'd like to ask our former VOA colleagues to please stand up and be recognized for your service.
For those of you who don't know his story, Walter's story, he was a young research assistant at Harvard Law School, I believe, when you were recruited in 1942 to join the not yet existing Voice of America, but about to exist. And you helped build the agency from scratch, you and the rest of the team. And Walter, we know how passionate you are about getting the facts right. We learned that just recently, or we were reminded of that. We had been celebrating Voice of America's birthday for these many years on February 24th, but Walter was never quite comfortable with that, and he wanted to check it. So he did, along with a team of old colleagues and some researchers and some old fading files, and you went, and correct me if I've got this story wrong, but the way I'm told, you went through the files and you discovered the first broadcast was on February 1st. And so as of this year, from now on, our birthday is February 1st. Is that right?
That is very correct. Unfortunately, I never kept a diary. Yes. Otherwise, I would have not had to go through the archives. I found a memorandum in the BBC archives, which said that beginning February 1st, German, French, and Italian broadcasts will be broadcast by radio telephone to London, whence they were broadcast on the BBC on medium wave.
That's a very interesting bit of history. And tell me, what would you say during your career here were the two, three, four most important stories?
Well, you should know, David, that when we started, things were always dark. We lost wars. We lost battles. So when I tell you now that one that stands out in my mind particularly
was at the liberation of Stalingrad in February of 1943. 1.5 years German victories were suddenly ended, and an important defeat was administered. The other story that, of course, still sticks in my mind is the landing on the Normandy beaches. And perhaps the one that was most difficult to write was the death of Franklin Roosevelt in April 1945.
What do you hope for the future of Voice of America, Walter Roberts?
Well, I associate myself with everything that the former VOA directors have said. Let me just say that I think I was pondering. In 30 years, the Voice of America will celebrate its centennial. Some of them, I hope many of you, will be there. And they will remember that one man predicted that the Voice of America will exist because as the information revolution proceeds, diplomacy will become much more public diplomacy. And public diplomacy cannot exist without international broadcasting. When I predict that in 30 years the Voice of America will exist, I also predict that the Deutsche Welle will exist, that the BBC will exist, because international broadcasting is a vital part of public diplomacy, and public diplomacy is diplomacy.
Thank you, Walter Roberts.
I want to congratulate the Voice of America on 7 decades of incredible service to the United States of America, and doing it in a way that provides credible information to people around the world.
Thank you, Congressman. Now, some of you may know that some of our journalists here at VOA began their careers after fleeing their home countries to escape from repressive governments. Miroslava Gongadze, host of the Ukrainian service Chas Time, moved here after losing her husband, a fellow journalist, from political violence at home. She is now a tireless campaigner for human rights and press freedom. The head of our Burmese service, Tan Luen Tun, fled his homeland in 1988 during a bloody crackdown by the government against the student protests that he participated in. And more recently, Rahman Bunairi, who works for our Diva service, fled Pakistan after the Taliban blew up his home and threatened his life. All of them have a story, and each story drives a passion for the craft of journalism that is apparent in their work today. And there are many, many more stories like these, and it is these stories and our people that makes VOA such an extraordinary organization. David.
On January 17th, Mukarram Khan Atif, reporter for VOA's Radio Diwa, was shot and killed by Taliban militants. He was the 3rd reporter from the Voice of America to be killed in the line of duty. In the face of repeated threats by militants, he had refused to stop reporting on events in Pakistan's lawless regime, which is his home, lawless region, which is his home. Mr. Atif's murder is a reminder of the dangers facing journalists from the Voice of America, as well as our sister organizations, Radio Free Europe, Radio Free Asia, Middle East Broadcasting Network, and the Office of Cuban Broadcasting, and other organizations as well. We also think today of the recent deaths of Anthony Shadid of the New York Times, of Marie Colvin of the London Sunday Times and of photojournalist Remy Oschlieg. But let us have a moment of silence now in memory of the three fallen Voice of America journalists. Just in the time I've been here, as I said, less than 3 months, we have faced adversity together. Everything from the murder of a beloved colleague in Pakistan to the prospect of budget cuts that may require us to do more with less in the coming years. I know very well that many VOA employees are, quite frankly, frustrated and angry by the budgetary situation. These are not easy times. And yet, every day I see VOA people doing extraordinary things, often with limited resources. Recently, the VOA radio operations team found a way, in a matter of weeks, to put DWA radio up on satellite TV simulcasting. They did it using cameras that, quite frankly, are being borrowed once a week from the IBB conference room, and please don't tell Dick Lobo, but it's working quite well. One of the things that I've noticed in the months since I came here is how much the Voice of America is like a family. Like a family, we argue. We argue in the hallways, we argue in the blogosphere, but we are bound together by a powerful sense of mission. And even in challenging times like these, VOA's mission inspires great work. So now, if I may, can I ask the current team of Voice of America to please stand? And let's give a hand to the men and women of today's Voice of America.
It is with great pleasure that I celebrate today the anniversary of Voice of America. Voice of America has been active in Haiti since 1986 and does a tremendous job in education and culture. And it is with great pleasure that I join all Haitians in celebrating this remarkable milestone and in wishing it a long and successful life.
So today we have looked back at our rich past and celebrated our present. But time does not stand still, and neither do we. This is what we're doing to adapt to an ever-changing world and to reach audiences wherever they might be.
Okay. Transmitters on. It started on the radio.
This is a voice speaking from America.
VOA is now a multimedia machine. It's a new world, moving fast, and Voice of America is keeping pace. iPhones or cameras, iPads or teleprompters, Skype me an interview, text me your story, tweet a line, Facebook an idea, HD TV anyone. Thank you, Final Cut Pro. Studio 52, the mission to share, the name Podolice. It's Russian. The audience drives the show, plugging citizen journalists and viewers directly into the broadcast.
It used to be just conversations in the kitchen, now it's conversations online.
In January, VOA unveiled a state-of-the-art TV studio with a fully automated digital master control, a 16-foot video wall, a full interview set, and a control room background.
The light patterns that you see on the back wall are an infinite palette of pastel-type colors that we can put into them. So we can change the scene with all the different changes in VOA programming.
The Urdu service is retooling its TV offerings to reach more young people. One of their upcoming shows, Zoom In, a daily lifestyle show covering Americana, entertainment, and social issues, but with a lighter touch. Another new program, Cafe DC, where VOA talks with the movers and shakers in the nation's capital, angling for the human and personal side of these important people.
I think it's important for parents to try and encourage their children to, you know, pursue their own talents and their own potential. And
on January 9th, VOA launched its first broadcast of DIWA programming to Pakistan on satellite TV. From our studios in Washington, Impartial News is simulcast on radio. It can also be received in Afghanistan.
For me, it's really a great experience because I've never been in front of camera, so it's the first time for me.
Now to Burma, a new half-hour television show with a fast-paced daily summary of the latest news, a program with U.S. culture, politics, and updates from the world of science and technology.
She was so mad, she practically had a crash.
Always looking for innovative ways to reach and inform, the English division created customized interactive English lessons. The classroom is already a hit with our fans.
Obviously, there was not a cow in the room.
It's a lot of fun, and if you head to our Mandarin service, you'll enjoy learning English with a smile and a highly entertaining, stylish, and witty webcast called OMG Mayu.
You don't want to hurt your GPA. 你不要伤害你的平均绩点.
The Mandarin service has other innovative new shows like Congress on China and Democracy in America. Netizen shows the Chinese audience how U.S. internet users look at current issues and their comments via social media. It delves into the world of online opinion with a healthy dose of humor and satire. VOA is all about being global.
Today is actually the first day that we have launched this new pilot project where we are taking material from our sister entities at RFE and RFA and publishing that material back on our website.
Hi, this is Imran Siddiqui from VOA's Urdu TV.
The English division's new 30-minute weekly TV magazine show, On Assignment, gives you the story behind the story. With its edgy style, it gets personal with reporters and correspondents around the world, looking at the challenges, the fears, emotions, and dangers they sometimes face in the chase to get the news.
And then they said, no, no, you are not allowed.
There are big changes underway at VOA. Check out the newsroom.
We've done several joint projects with our colleagues from Urdu and from PNN.
VOA is everywhere. In 43 languages with news and information to 141 million people a week. From the uprising in Syria to the U.S. Republican primaries, VOA is there.
We've got a great conservative track record.
A great victory in Arizona tonight.
The war in Afghanistan and what the U.S. plans ahead. Andre Dinesnera getting the inside scoop with a one-on-one with President Obama.
President Karzai, I think, has the same strategic interest that we have.
The innovation continues on VOA Persian with Perspectives, a bilingual interview show hosted by one of VOA's most recognizable personalities.
He told me about a project his company has been working on.
And finally, TV viewers in Iran have been delighted by VOA's satirical take on Iranian politics called Parazit. Parazit means static in English. But VOA is anything but static. We're changing and moving forward to another 70 years.
Thank you.
Boston Jazz Orchestra. We have much to be proud of as we celebrate and mark this important anniversary, and we look forward to another 70 illustrious years of bringing accurate, balanced, and comprehensive news to our audiences around the world.
I came back into the office one morning and I see in my office an elderly gentleman with a kind of an old jacket, old pants, and medals, obviously World War II veteran. And he looks at me and he says, "You're the Voice of America correspondent?" I speak Russian. I said, "Yes." And he starts to cry. He says, "I don't believe it. I've been listening to the Voice of America for all these years, and I never thought that I would see the day when a Voice of America correspondent would be here in Moscow."
I would wear a little VOA pin, and I would forget it was there. But I could be in a village in Kenya. People would see that microphone, and they would say, "I learned my English. I got information about my own country that I couldn't get any other way."
Cab drivers in Washington, D.C., when I used to say that I worked at the Voice of America, there's always a wonderful conversation.
My family listened to Voice of America. It was the only independent voice in Ethiopia when I grew up.
The vice president of Nigeria says, "I wake up every morning at 6 o'clock and I turn on Voice of America."
Here you had the Communist Party, which made every effort to control all aspects of life.
In the aftermath of the horrible Rwandan wars, we provided a service for people to find their families.
There's a drought that's affecting about 12 million people in the Horn of Africa region, and we started a show called Lifeline.
We contributed by keeping hope alive at a time when people in those societies really had no hope whatsoever.
We reunited many, many families. That was thrilling. It so showed the power of the Voice of America.
VOA does make a difference.
This is the Voice of America, Washington, D.C., signing on.
VOA.
1975, mice run everywhere in the news.
VOA television was just starting.
Everywhere.
I've worked under 11 presidents.
When I started, there was just black and white film.
A 100-foot film camera.
When the Pope went to Poland, we were there.
52 American hostages were to be released.
People were on Tiananmen Square with radios, holding up the radios to allow the crowd to hear our Mandarin language broadcast.
We started the first regular call-in shows.
This has an incredible impact on people.
We were carrying bits of history.
The war in Kosovo in 1999.
9/11, aftermath. Now what's happening, the Arab Spring.
We also started the first audio streaming on the internet.
When we think about where the Voice of America has been, we're looking at a landscape which is absolutely unprecedented.
Our task is to present the truth.
We take free news broadcasts for granted in America.
I was most anxious to come here personally today because I put such great importance on the work that you're doing.
I said a few years ago that I attach the kind of importance to modernizing the voice that President Kennedy gave to the space program. I want to renew this pledge to you today. We must continue to deliver a strong signal to those who might otherwise be deprived of uncensored information.
The mission has not changed. It's providing good, solid journalism, which we do better than anyone.
You're not only telling the stories of world headlines, but you're also telling stories of individuals and how certain policies or how certain issues affect them and how they deal with it.
You go into a small village and a village chief comes and says a few words, you can feel the earth. This is how we learned about each other.
When I see the power of journalism to help spread freedom and democracy in this world, it makes me so proud to be in any way associated with Voice of America.
This place cooks on all cylinders. It never stops.
Whenever we went to the battlefield, that means life or death.
You know the old saying, the pen is mightier than the sword? It is. So is the microphone. So is the camera. Mr. Atif knew that. And he went out there to try to show the truth to the people of his region of Pakistan, even though there are those with guns who wanted to prevent him from doing so. They have killed him, but they will not stop the mission of his service. They will not stop journalists from telling the truth. The pen is mightier than the sword.
When I came here, I realized how little I really knew about this country and the world.
In Washington, people had so little knowledge of what VOA meant and what it was doing out around the world.
سلام، من کامبیز حسینی هستم و این پارازیت هم برنامه پلید در حد تیم ملی ایران از طرف بچه های انقلاب که حالا شدن مزدوران در قیب آب خود فروخته ی عامل بیگانه دشمن ملت ایران
داجه ها
slang webcasting to China
because people in this country were not allowed to listen to Voice of America they didn't really know anything about it
VOA is not just only critical it's a lifeline to democracy
the Nazis were defeated Soviet communism is gone But there are still problems in this world. There are still people who are not free enough.
Still over 60% of the world lives in a restricted environment from the standpoint of a free media.
VOA still has an incredibly important role to play.
Let's find ways with satellite TV, cell phone, text messaging, Facebook.
Providing blogs and tweets.
Basically, that shortwave chrysalis that was the VOA at the founding has now become a multimedia butterfly.
Even the poorest of the poor people want to have the mobile applications. And VOA being creative about moving onto those platforms is essential to VOA getting information that helps people on the ground.
We need to continue to serve those people and try to find more.
Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes our program for today. Thank you so much for sharing this anniversary with us. Please join us outside at the reception and happy birthday, VOA!